Blog Talk Radio.
Afrika, emotle, Africa, omhle, the beautiful African. Good day, good evening, dumela, tobela, molweni, ashe, hotep, sava, assalamu alaikum. Africa, the international criminal court. Founded in Africa after the fall of apartheid, the court was not formed during apartheid to charge the apartheid regime for the crimes of apartheid. It was formed after. Very significant, Mafrika. And we've come to know today, after 21 years, that South Africa, in signing for the membership of the court, did not simply only sign the Rome Statute in 1998. It took another step further, Mafrika. On its own volition, Parliament, just to prove that it had commitment to be bound by the newly formed ICC court, the International Criminal Court. Parliament unanimously, now I'm referring here to a quote, that Parliament unanimously enacted on 18 July 2002, the implementation of the Rome Statute of the International Criminal Court Act 27, as we say, of 2002. Now, that became the law for the courts of the country under Section 4.3 of the ICC Act. Now, the section provides that the courts can arrest a person when in South Africa who commits a crime under the Act outside the country, outside South Africa, the territory of South Africa. But if the person, if the perpetrator is present physically in the country, in South Africa, after the commission of the offense, the person can be arrested. The courts have the right to arrest that person. And to go further, Mafrika, just to read for your sake, because sometimes these things happen. That's why we are saying that we've got to have our own community representatives in Parliament that can report on some of these things, come to community meetings, tell us, and then we ask these questions. The law, what is this? We didn't know about this. Now, the act that they adopted, they took a further step. The act provides for a framework to ensure the effective implementation of the Rome Statute of the International Criminal Court in South Africa to ensure that South Africa conforms with its obligations set out in the statutes to provide for the crime of genocide, crimes against humanity, and war crimes, to provide for the prosecution of South African courts of persons accused of having committed the said crimes in South Africa and beyond the borders of South Africa in certain circumstances, to provide for the arrest of persons accused of having committed the said crimes and their surrender to the said court in certain circumstances, to provide for the cooperation by South Africa with the said court, that is the ICC court, the ICC, and to provide for matters connected therewith. Do you hear me, Africa? That's what we did. We took the extra step. Now, can you imagine at that time, that's when there was a conflict as to whether to charge for the crimes of apartheid, which direction to go. And boom, the truth and reconciliation was just thrown on us. And our rights to charge for the crime, because Apartheid was declared a crime against humanity by the International Convention, the United Nations International Convention for the Punishment, for Prevention and Punishment of Apartheid. That was a resolution, a signature taken by the world and also the Security Council. So the apartheid regime was subject to be charged. But to an unknowing Africa, without giving consent of referendum, those charges were expunged by the ruling party, by the governing party then. Of course, we're all excited about freedom, but we got caught up in a situation where other people had planned to take over. Other people had planned to get rid of the charges, get themselves caught free, like we're saying that whites can kill blacks, but they never prosecuted. And you go and kill white, and then you get prosecuted. That was happening in that party. And the white regime and white agents and white individuals could kill blacks with impunity, and they would never be charged. They would never go to jail. And still, Africa, after we fought and got our independence, on your own, you expunged, got rid of our right to charge for our crimes. That's why we had pointed out in the previous programs that the complaint about women whose children suffered or were persecuted or were murdered by the apartheid regime was that these males don't know what they're doing. In fact, they never suffered the birth pains of giving a child and seeing your child be murdered. And Africa, let's get back to the ICC. Now, the ICC, it is said that it prosecuted up to this day 9 cases from Africa. Of course, they did not prosecute any case from the United States, from China, from Russia, because the ICC is a non-governmental organization, NGO. We fell for the trip. But the other people who protect their sovereign rights, the rights of the individual, security of the individual, they didn't sign that thing. Because they did not want to subject or sublimate their national sovereignty to an NGO. And that we did. United States did not sign. China did not sign. Russia did not sign. And other countries, strong, did not sign. They did not sign. So the ICC to date prosecuted 9 cases from Africa. 6 of the 9 cases from Africa. I'm going to repeat this. 6 of the 9 cases were referred by the African countries themselves. 2 were referred by the United Nations Security Council. And 1 against the president and the deputy president in Kenya was started by the ICC. So, because we live with these African leaders, we know how they operate. To some, the ICC would have been the best external tool to get rid of and remove political opponents. That's why they rush. That's why. And also that if you look deeper, like we are saying under the Africa program, protect the security of the individual. Do not suppress and persecute and make the people suffer like a petty dictators. Now, we have dictators in Africa who are a bit sophisticated today because they appear to subscribe to democracy and the principles of universal rights and whatnot. But if you look deeper, Gambia, Eritrea, and Sudan, South Sudan, Sudan, we can quote them. We have a fundamental problem where our people are still persecuted. And without rights in Africa, you have to stand up and protect yourself. That leads to civil conflicts. All right. So what Africa has to do, the AU, is to simply put its foot down on proper governance, protecting the individual of Africa. Because we've seen it in our country, South Africa. We have seen it at the transition when, in confidence, we have surrendered our confidence and support to the liberation movement. And what happened? Got assassinated one by one to clear up the way. And today, other people were convenient, you know, they were smart enough to go after state power, grab the state power, and then everything falls in place. We were so ambitious, so honest, that we are looking for at least a liberated country ruled by the African majority. Yes, it is. But what we have is co-option and compromise. We are saying that people rush to get state power, they rush to get portfolios, and that's what we have today. Now the question is, if that's the case where African countries referred cases to the ICC, why did Africa not establish its own Pan-African Court? We've been calling for this for the last 2 years, to prosecute Africans committing crimes of genocide and crimes of inhumanity against Africans. And like we're saying, that the majority of the African governments are not people's governments. We might as well call them review governments, review, that is governing in reverse to cover scandals. You govern with mistakes, you govern in reverse to cover scandals. Further, what we may call the pothole government, that's sometimes so incompetent not being able to cover all the potholes. You're driving some of the streets there. You see it. So the African Union has proposed establishing the African Court of Justice and Human Rights, Human and People's Rights. The question is, about Africa to this moment, why all African governments have not signed and all are not bound by the African Court Charter? Why? Huh? What stops these countries from signing, all of them, signing the Court Charter? Who do we blame? Imperialists, we blame the white men? So, Mavic, on this program, we call upon Africa to establish the Pan-African Court that will itself, as you say, charge those who perpetrate crimes against Africans. And the court will have precedence before. It will come before the International Criminal Court, strengthen the internal judicial systems. Like we are saying, that the African Court of Justice and Human and People's Rights is founded to protect the rights of the individual African. So the Pan-African Court will resolve and address crimes within and between states and parties. Separate the two, because the one of the people's rights, the people individually have to go there. But this other one has to deal with states. You got to separate it. Do not conflate the two. Like, for example, we have the problem in South Sudan, voluntary discussions that they've been dragging on and on and on. These people are playing us games, and people are dying. People are dying. Those are people, African people's lives, and we are playing games. Establish the Pan-African Court. Put these, the parties in dispute in front of the court. When the court decides, that's it. We have the problem with Burundi, Central African Republic. We are repeating this, Mafrika. It seems like it's a repetition. But this is a crisis, Mafrika. And hopefully that somebody will hear our call and our cry out. Public Agency report, we come to know now today, African Union Summit endorsed in 2014 changes to the mandate of the proposed African Court of Justice and Human and People's Rights. That was in Malabo. I think it's in the Malabo Protocol. The mandate expanded the court's African court's reach to include the crimes the ICC was created to prosecute, genocide, crimes against humanity, and war crimes. But the mandate specifically grants immunity from prosecution to certain heads of state and senior government officials. This is a clear contradiction, Africa, and conflict with the Rome Statutes. That includes prosecuting the sitting president. If you come up with a Malabo protocol, and say that you are not going to charge sitting presidents, you are not going to charge senior government officials, what are you talking about? What is this? You do not have, the AU does not impose presidential term limits, unless you do that. You don't impose rigid oversight to guarantee free and transparent elections in all African countries. You don't do that. You don't punish and prosecute election theft and rigging. So if you say that we are going to have sitting president, not prosecuted, they're going to be there for perpetually, forever. The AU, you do reject coup d'etats. Why don't you reject rigged and stolen elections? Why do you do that? Because that is where the problem is. Now, if you say that you're not going to charge sitting presidents, they're going to go to the state, they're going to stay there forever. And Africa, to go and amend the mandate of the Court of People's Rights, the African Court of Justice, that is an after effect. That you are always you sign stuff as if you don't know, you don't read it, and sometimes we doubt if you do read it. And the next thing is you want to go back and redo, cover the mistakes, clean up the pothole. And sometimes even if you do the pothole, you don't do them all, you don't do it completely. Now you go and sign a mandate, and some of the African countries have not signed the charter for the African Court of Justice. Does the court have effect, total effect to impose its will and rule? No, it does not, because some of you did not sign it. The question is, who is fooling whom? Who is fooling whom? And governments cannot, the African governments cannot claim competing and conflicting obligations to the ICC Rome statutes. That seeks, as I say, that it seeks to prosecute sitting presidents. And at the same time, claim obligation to the AU Malawi that grants immunity to prosecuting African heads of state. It doesn't work. That's a conflict right there. And where does your allegiance lie? Where does your sovereignty lie? Does it lie with Africa, or does it lie with an NGO in the Netherlands, Hague? Because it is significant, Mafika. The problem that we had in South Africa, as we say, started in 1652 from the Netherlands. Now come elections 1994, after we fought the watershed during 1976 that overthrew the colonial and apartheid regime. That started in 1652. You go back and sign for the International Criminal Court and take a further step and make it the law of the country. Who is running? I mean, what have you done with your struggle, sacrifice, and struggle for liberation struggle? Well, what is the joke all about? What are we the joke? Is the joke on us? And it is. It is. Now, after signing the Malabo Protocol, our government failed to inform Parliament and the courts of the Malabo Protocol. And it happens that the court rightly so ruled and charged the government to arrest. It charged the government to arrest the President Omar Bashir last week. When in South Africa, according to Section 43 of the ICC Act, that Parliament signed, and the High Court, the court ruled government failure to arrest Bashir is inconsistent with the Constitution, because you never told them that you signed the Malabo Protocol. You never told the judges. You never told the why did the Department of Foreign Affairs, Foreign Relations and Cooperation, International Relations and Cooperation, and the Justice Department not inform Parliament? Why didn't you tell Parliament? It is because we are run by the few people, the appointees. These are portfolio people. They are not accountable to us. That's why they said, "My Africa, stand up." The lawyers, the lawyers, the judges, the chief justices, the police, you, Africa, the intellectuals, the students, please stand up and let's reclaim our country, because the way things are now, we are going nowhere. It's ruled by diktat to protect the few. And here it is, Africa. And to crown it all, the International Criminal Court on Friday, June 13, issued an urgent order to South Africa's embassy and legal representative in the Netherlands that South Africa is under obligation to immediately arrest and surrender Omar al-Bashir, who has entered today the territory of the Republic of South Africa for the purposes of attending the African Union summit. They issued that dictate. They issued that decision, my friend, that order, the day of Obashe arrived in South Africa. And by the way, my friend, the current ambassador to the Netherlands was appointed. You remember following the landing of the Gupta family at Waterloo military base? Now, we don't hear about the Gupta family because they are entrenched now. They are deep. They are in the nuclear. They are in the rails. They are in the... So recently, you're talking about now South Africa being the hub to process rail stock for the whole of Africa. The Guptas are in there. The Guptas are in there. And the question is, Africa, if you use inside government information to enrich yourself being a foreigner, you've committed a crime. You've committed a crime. And now we see that our courts are being undermined by a government that was supposed to. You get paid. You go and sign something, you come back and report. Report to all relevant departments. But it's like these guys are perpetually partying. Travel. They are happy to be traveling every day, going to look important, this and that, and the majority are not participating. And it is our responsibility, my freedom. And what has happened with respect to the court and the ICC and the issuing of arrest and the contempt of court against the court order in South Africa? It's gross incompetence, my freedom. As we say, the typical of a pothole government that governs in reverse, my friend. We squander money, we squander time, you squander court personnel, and the disrepute of the court violating, the disrepute of contempt of court violating the court's courts and laws. You decreed, my friend, you decreed those laws. This is gross incompetence, Manfred. It might be grounds for impeachment, but we don't have that clause, and that has to be included because we are saying that we are not perfect. I, as an individual, am not perfect. I've got my mistakes. I've got my burdens that sometimes were created by other Africans. My brethren are the ones that sabotage because they concentrated on us in collusion with the apartheid regime. We are not claiming perfection, Africa, but please, we are saying that let's stand up and fight for our rights because life is too short and we've invested too much only to find that it is our people who are sabotaging us. So, Africa, these are grounds for impeachment or no confidence motion in parliament, but we know that that will never happen. So we are calling for a constituent government. Communities should have, we should have the right, we should elect our own community representative to parliament, that who will be our eyes and ears, and to replace this party government of the few by the few. This is not the people's government. And Africa, all AU members should withdraw from the ICC. No one is holding a gun to your head not to withdraw from the ICC. This is simply gross demonstration, a depiction, an exhibition of gross inferiority complex, typical of the obedient servant syndrome, forever subservient to the master. Even when the master tells, okay, you withdraw. Are you waiting for the master to tell you to withdraw? Withdraw! Withdraw from the ICC, withdraw from that NGO. Now we have the governing party, after they failed to inform parliament and inform the courts. They are complaining that now the ICC seemingly is a way by the colonizers to punish the colonizers. Stop that rubbish. Stop that rubbish because you've pimped us, you've taken our rights, you've given our rights away to charge these guys from crimes against humanity. You got co-opted, and then the few of you are billionaires as we speak. Stop the nonsense. Stop the colonial nonsense. Just stop it. Because we've suffered more in the 21 years than we've suffered under apartheid. You come and say that again, the view is that the instrument, the ICC, is no longer useful. It has been compromised. It is biased. You signed it. Others who did not sign it, like China, the United States, Russia, they never saw any use in it. You go about signing stuff because you don't consult with us. You do things, and the next thing is sometimes you don't even read what you've signed. And who do you think the SEC was formed to serve? Huh? You signed it willingly, withdraw willingly, and nobody's holding, to say that nobody's holding a gun to your head. And Africa, we are calling for all AU members to sign the charter for the African Court of Justice and Human Rights and Human and People's Rights. You got to, all of you have to sign that. There's no excuse. You can't double game us. No, you can't do that. You got to sign that and be bound by that. That's a starting point. And that you need to establish a Pan-African court. Sovereignty and precedence over and above the International Court of Justice. So, Africa, and not grant immunity, but charge sitting presidents for genocide and human crimes, inhuman crimes against Africans. Most important for the Pan-African Court, Africa, it has to initiate and prosecute and demand reparations against the crimes, economic and inhuman crimes of slavery, colonialism, and apartheid. That's what the Pan-African has to do. Establish that court. Nobody's stopping you. We go after these people. We go after these people. From the Congo, from the Congo to Zimbabwe, to Azania, to you remember the smallpox blankets in Southwest Africa. The Germans almost decimated Namibia. That's why the population is so small. We have to go after these people. We are not asking you, Martin. We are saying that establish the Pan-African Court. Leave the African Court of Justice for the people. Then the people can judge. And also, most important, you have to fund, the people must be funded to charge you because my individual Africa don't have money. And we are being invaded. Africa has been invaded today in terms of our land has been taken. And individual Africa don't have the right to protect themselves. So do not conflate the African Court of Justice for the individual Africa and the Pan-African Court. That has to deal with states. The slaughter of Africa of the 9 church members this week at the Emmanuel African Methodist Episcopal Church in Charleston, South Carolina. Now, Africa, we only have 1 minute left, and as I say that, the 21-year-old supremacist complained that blacks, you rape our women and you take our country. And you saw him wearing a jacket on Facebook showing the flag of apartheid regime and Rhodesia. Africa, there is no more Rhodesia in name and form. Zimbabwe is the name and the country of the African majority. And of course, South Africa still remains South Africa in name and form and country. And we have a system co-opted. We've been co-opted, Africa. And this program, at least for the next program, we will devote at length on the contradictions and what it means, the consequences, Africa, of having portfolio people in government. You know, government, a pothole government that governs in reverse. You know, and the fact is that we have so few people. It's a government by the party of the few, not the people. It's a government, but that's why we are constantly having to cover potholes, having to cover mistakes, because we are governing in reverse. And the better way with all the fundamental principles and policies of liberation. Africa is related to. The land is ours. Fatsalarona, Tikorahina, Sangolashu. Again, Africa, we thank the privilege of talking to you and the privilege of listening. Thank you, Africa.